Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget to download the radio.com app, search 95.7 The Game, and add it to your favorites. Don't miss a second, whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, and use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Andy Benoit yesterday, formerly of Sports Illustrated, now an NFL analyst. He joined us yesterday at about 11:15 to talk about the 49ers and Cam Newton and Nick Mullins. Said Nick Mullins was really, really good. That was a shock. That was a shockwave right there. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Let's go out to the phone lines, fellas. We haven't taken any calls today. Let's go out to Charles to start us off on the phone side of things here. Charles in Oakland, what's happening, man? Good morning. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Bonte, what's up, Guru? What's up, Steiny?
Hey,
what's up, baby?
Yeah. I just want to throw that, like, for the Warriors, for example, I think one thing that's going on in the NBA nowadays has been going on for, like, the last 10 years is I feel like, I don't want to call them mediocre, but players that are kind of role players, third, fourth players, they make too much money. I believe Andrew Wiggins makes too much money for what he's produced on the court. Now, I'm not in the man's pockets. I'm glad he makes the money. I'm just saying, like, if I was the general manager myself. So if the Warriors are hell-bent on keeping Wiggins, then I think they need to do the prudent thing, which would be they need help up front. See if you can get Wiseman. See if you can get a front court player out this draft. Because I know people are scared that Klay and Draymond and Curry are only going to be around for, like, I don't know if they think they're just going to be around for 6 months. But the prudent thing would be to develop a real team. Don't, like, panic and pull the trigger on a trade for somebody who's not really going to help you win a championship. The goal is to win a championship. And they got a special opportunity with some special players if they build a team around them. If it takes a couple years, I still think Klay and Steph can shoot. I still think Draymond will be a junkyard dog. And they have them under contract anyway, and they probably won't be able to get out of those contracts anyway. So I think you keep the draft pick, you pick a big man, you try to go get a player like Trevor Ariza who's looking for a ring or a wing like that. Not go trade to get somebody, but give up a draft pick, a player, a trade exception. They need a backup guard board. They should go and make Bowman the third player and develop them slowly like they want to. And that's my take on it. I don't really think they should try to go, you know, unless Giannis comes available, then that's a no-brainer. But other than that, these dudes that they're talking about, they're good players. But the Warriors are trying to win a championship, not just get a good player. Like, they already have great players. You know what I mean? They need players to help them sustain what they got going on and then improve forward that can take over when Steph and them can't do it like this no more.
I mean, that would be Wiseman. You know, if you think Wiseman's going to be really good, you got to draft him. See, that's the thing. I mean, we don't know who they like, if anybody. We don't know how much they like any of these guys, whether they love them or they like them just a little. The thing is, if they like a player, then they should take that player. If they really like a player. If they're not crazy about that player, then they do have to start thinking about other moves. But I feel what the last caller's saying. Really am. You know, when you have Wiggins is making a ton of money. And when you have guys on your payroll, and this is the danger that Draymond could present, maybe not right away, but when you have guys gobbling up 18% of your cap, but they're not producing, it's really hard to overcome that. It really is.
Yeah, and what if we say Draymond signed that contract? And I'm not saying, I'm not doubting him. I'm just saying for him to hear the noise and come out and say he's going to give a return on investment this early on, Bonte, in the first year after he signs the contract, you know, that's not a good sign. And producer Kyle put on our thread. I don't know if you saw it right now. I asked you two, who would you take right now, currently, Draymond Green or Aaron Gordon? And I would just have to believe because of the youth that if I were running the team and I had to pick between the two, I would go Gordon. And that would be no disrespect to Draymond Green.
It would be some disrespect.
If I was not in Golden State, Bonte, if I was not in Golden State, you know what I mean? If I was just
I hear you.
I know Dre means something to the Splash Brothers, man.
Yeah, on this team, I'm going with the guy who's helped win three championships. The guy who's won a DPOY. I'm gonna stick with that guy over a guy I like Aaron Gordon a lot. I mean, heck, covered him since high school. He was playing at SF Pro-Am. To watch the guy grow to where he is now. He's still got somewhere to go in this game. And the rebounding numbers that Steiny pointed out really shocks me. Because when he was at Biddy and was at Arizona, he was crashing the glass, man. He was gobbling up rebounds. He was always around the rim. To see that, and it could be because Jonathan Isaac is there and Vucevic is there. And they got some size in Orlando. But the rebounding numbers for Gordon is a bit disappointing to me. It really is.
But also, Steiny, tell him, though, rebounds, that stat is kind of skewed now, right, with all the three-pointers?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, rebounding isn't the biggest stat in the world. But he doesn't rebound well, Aaron Gordon. I mean, he's okay. He's average. What does he get, about seven and a half a game for a guy 6'8", 6'9"?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine. It's not great. It's not terrible. Yeah, I don't know about – well, you know, I guess it is a good question. You know, would you rather have an Aaron Gordon who's, what, 24? But the reality is that's probably not the conversation, at least for not right now, because when we had Bob Myers on last week, it seems apparent that at least heading into this year, they're going to have Curry, Clay, and Draymond, and probably Wiggins. It feels like that they're going to head into the season with that. You can put Wiggins off to the side because he's not a warrior. He's not a longtime warrior. But I think we can say with certainty, what do you guys think, that the big three will be on the team next year. Depending on how that team does, maybe things will change. But I think next year, Draymond's definitely going to be on the squad.
No doubt. And because you said something earlier, Guru, I know you remember this. Steiny, you said something during the season. I forgot what we were debating about. This could have been, this is a while ago.
Pre-COVID, huh? Right.
Yeah, it was, well, it was long before pre-COVID. But you said somehow the Warriors owe it to Draymond to at least give him another year with the Splash Brothers. Because Clay was out, and Steph obviously getting hurt against Phoenix in game number four of the season. He didn't have that chance to really play. You know, he's playing with a bunch of youngsters. And I get it. A lot of people wanted Draymond to score a little bit more and lead the team better, and it didn't happen that way. But there is something to that where it's like, all right, we got Dre. We got Steph coming back healthy. Klay Thompson's completely healthy. Let's run it back one more time with at least those three guys and build around them to see where we can get to. And that's why I'm with you guys. I don't think Draymond's going anywhere. Not this year. Year after, if he doesn't perform this year, things may change. Let's go out to Rich and Fremont.
Go ahead.
Yeah, let's get Rich on here before we get that point, Guru. Rich and Fremont, what's up, man? Long time no talk.
What's up, Star Mitch? What's up, Guru? What's up, Bonte?
What's up, baby?
Hey, man, you know, I'll tell you something. I think really at the end of the day, it's still, you know, a situation, and that last caller nailed it, in my opinion. You go after somebody that's going to help you win titles. That's what you do. You don't, because they've already went through this, okay? They had D'Lo, they drafted Jordan Bell, and for whatever reason, these were players that were supposed to help them get to the next level, and it didn't work out. Now, I get it that Jordan Bell was drafted. That's different. But still, if you're going to trade, make sure somebody's going to actually help you get to the mountaintop, okay? And then the other thing I want to chime in on is Steinmetz. I have to admit, after what I heard in that thing between you and Dibble last week, I totally side with you, my brother. I heard Dan Dibble like Dibble. Really? Come on, man. You got to be kidding me. It's like, first of all, you left your car open. Okay? Second of all, get the clubs from David. Okay? And what do? You give him a gesture. You hand him a Bentley, a Benjamin, and you give him a bottle of Jameson. So you didn't buy the clubs. Okay? You did that as a gesture, which means
right.
The clubs are still technically Dave's. Okay? They're not yours. All right? And he had already given the 7-iron to you. So it's like, dude, how are you going to make a stink about this? If I was a judge and you came into my courtroom and you present that case to me, I'm just like, dude, this is an open and shut case. You know, judgment for Matt Steinmetz, we're done. That's it.
Could you imagine Judge Judy having a field day with this one? She would make Dan Dibble look so bad right now. She'd humiliate him.
Yes. And it's normally not how Dibbs thinks or operates. That's what's so shocking. You know, he would see the right thing to do with this instance. But I guess
well,
not.
You know what?
It doesn't me that
it doesn't shock me.
Wow.
Does it shock me that Dan Dibble would act this way? It really doesn't. Not when he comes at my guy like Butcher Boy talking about Q rating. Coming at Lucas and Butcher Boy, talk about your Q rating ain't high enough. That's totally Dan Dibble. And you know what? Judge Judy, Judge Joe Mathis, Guru, Kyle, Producer Kyle, Joe Spinoni, we need to make this happen.
Yes.
Wapner, we need to make this happen. We need to make this happen. Because you know what? And what's really bothering me about the situation, not to hijack this whole segment or whatnot, but I saw our boss, Matt Nahegan, on Friday on Twitter flip-flopping, talking about, I'm on Team Steiny.
Is that what Dibbs that was about? At him,
and Nahegan flip-flopped. And I said, damn, boss, you're a bigger flip-flopper than Guru.
That's a
really?
Problem.
No, see, it
is a big
like
problem.
Part.
What, now he's on Dibbs' side?
Yeah, he's on Dibbs' side.
Oh,
he's on Dibbs' side.
Why you bring
he
that
said he was on
him.
My side, first of all.
Yeah, he flipped, which is why I got in on the convo. And I said, you're flipping harder than Guru. He turned.
Oh, jeez.
Dibbers, tell him.
I missed that.
It ain't about me.
That.
I don't flip. I just react to new info. That's
yeah, okay.
And you don't mind flipping. You don't mind saying what's really on your mind at that moment.
Hey, no, seriously, Steiny, I think we're Team Steiny on this one. It's just
– yeah, no doubt.
Dibs is just – this is just – it's out of pocket. And like I told you, if I was you, Steiny, I would have had the club sitting right there in front of the TV torturing them.
Dibbers, and the beautiful thing about our relationship is if we were Team Dibble, we would feel confident to tell Steiny, hey, look, bud, you're in the wrong. I agree.
Yeah. Yes.
So you know it's real love. It ain't just you on the show. I mean, shocked at Dibs at this point. I can't believe it.
Especially because Dibs always talks about – he always talks about morning drive, and, you know, this is why we get to go to Miami for the Super Bowl because we're morning drive. Well, you know what? Since you make the big bucks – Go ahead and spend that $100 on the big money you make in morning drive. Go get yourself a 7-iron. You just got a free club. You just got a free set.
Hurt.
It couldn't hurt. You feel me, Steiny? Come on.
I do. Yeah. We'll see how it all plays out. You got to let it play out.
Hey, Steiny. Oh, no, I don't want to be negative. Just with the shutdown again in process, are you sure that tournament is going to go off as planned, or are you kind of you're a little worried about it?
No, I'm not worried about it. I think it's going to go off as planned. Wow. It's going to – the dude, the commissioner, our man Dave, I mean, he is actually – we have COVID protocol for the tournament, which we've never had before.
Okay.
For example, on Saturday night of the tournament, we usually all go out to a dinner at this restaurant.
Now that's
out. We usually have a hospitality suite where there's a suite with all the food and booze that you just can go into anytime. That's out. There's no, we usually switch up the foursomes each day, but now you're going to play with the same foursomes. So, yeah, we're trying to do it as safely as possible.
E40 would call that federal, Vontae. That's nice. That's a nice setup.
That is a great setup. Guru, you notice we didn't get any invites. Nobody from this show got any,
Well, I think we don't own a club between the two of us. I'm going to get some, though. It's going to be a problem. I didn't get no invite. It's coming.
You're not going to get clubs, Goo. Although I got to tell you, my boy Derek at Contra Costa Country Club is saying we're going to get Guru out there.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sure. You're laughing, man.
Just let me know, Guru, the day okay. you're going out there. That's all.
So he can.
You get it, right, B? You got the joke on that one.
I get it. He wants nothing to do with you. Right. He doesn't want to be around you at the golf course. I get it. Antonio in Oakland. Antonio, what's happening this morning?
Hey, what's up, you guys? Yeah, as far as those three guys, I don't think none of them can really help us like that. Like I said, Aaron Gordon's not really a shooter, so the only non-shooter I will accept is, Giannis. But I think we should, I know there's a lot of stuff that's being made about, there's not any hyped-up players and this and that. Well, Jason Tatum wasn't really hyped coming out, and he's on the verge of, superstardom? So, like all that hype stuff is kind of whack, and I'm not a big Wiseman guy. I want to just get beat. Like you saw what Detroit Pistons did a long time ago. They was like, oh, we don't need D-Wade. We have Rip Hamilton. We don't need Carmelo. We have Tayshaun Prince. And they end up getting Darko Milicic. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure if they would go back, they would probably pick D-Wade or Carmelo, right? So I don't want any Darko Milicic situations around here with the Warriors. We don't need that. So best player available, and I think that's LaMelo Ball. He has a high upside. A passing, wow. He's going to get better as a shooter. He's good. He loves the game. Man, can you imagine him passing to Steph and Clay? Because Steph and Clay don't need the ball. So, like I said, guys, moral of the story is no to Darko Milicic Part 2. That's how I feel. I don't know.
Who is that?
For the same way.
Is that Wiseman?
Saying the wrong pick. Oh.
Yeah. The wrong pick, Wiseman. I think he's Darko Milicic. That's right.
All right.
So.
Wow. Wow.
Could you envision Steph going to the two and giving up the point? Nah, that would never happen, right? But LaMelo, man, if they think he's that dude.
See, wow. I already know Guru is all in on LaMelo Ball.
No, that's
2K stuff. I can just see it all in your face.
You guys told me he wasn't
face.
The greatest shooter. I thought I was watching all these videos on Twitter, and he was pulling up from damn near half court, draining them. That was high school, I guess,
man. That's what happens when you watch highlights.
But that's highlights.
That's what happens when you watch highlights. And not 2K, dude.
You said
on,
it, though.
Man.
You said if you're the Warriors, and I'm not saying you're wrong, you take at this juncture with what you got, because it can go either way, you take the best and most talented player. And – we don't know when they do make that choice, if it's the right one, for like a year or two, when we can say, oh, man, this is what they should have did. Kind of hindsight.
But it might be more than a year or two till we find out. Man, I have no idea who's the best player coming out of the draft. Based on what I've read, I do love what I read about LaMelo Ball. Mm. The only thing I don't like, of course, is that he's not a great shooter. He's not a good shooter at all. And that's more of a problem in the NBA now than it's ever been. The question is, can he get good enough? Can he get good enough? That's all. He doesn't need to shoot 40%. Can he get good enough to be a threat from out there to where he can use that to go buy people? But, listen, I just love guys who can pass, whether they're whether they're 6 foot or whether they're 7 foot. I think if you can pass, you can play on any NBA team.
What about this, Bonte? Because, I was just out at the park a couple weeks ago, and I know a lot of people wish they could dunk. Some never have. But the jump shot is underrated. You go to any park, everybody would love to have that three. And I say that to say, I only could think of two people that have learned how to shoot in my lifetime of watching the NBA. That's Magic Johnson and Jason Kidd. I just don't think you can, Steiny, that thing is so pure and such a skill that you can lock yourself in the gym, but to actually get better at it, I guess what I'm saying is if you can shoot or not, fellas, is what I'm saying. I just don't know how many guys have actually added that to their repertoire to where it was
I'd
a major
Maurice
part
Cheeks.
Of their game. Mo Cheeks. But after Kidd
LeBron
and Magic,
James.
What about Lonzo?
LeBron
what
James.
About Lonzo Ball? Isn't Lonzo Ball
that,
getting
Steiny.
Better?
I'll give you, he's getting better, and I ain't just saying that because I'm Team Lonzo. The form looks better, but the result as well. But I,
you can absolutely,
I don't know about this guy.
You
can probably about this
guy. Absolutely improve your shooting over the course of your career.
I mean, LeBron James did it. Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's another guy.
No doubt. Tony
he
Parker.
Wasn't a guy at San Diego State. Tony Parker, good one. Kawhi Leonard to San Diego State, when he got drafted, I was like, all right, he's a slasher. guy who plays defense, not going to do anything.
Do I dare put Iguodala? Do we put Iguodala in there, or he's pretty much shot like he shot when he was the man in Philly? He's hit some big threes in the final. Not like that's his weapon, but Iguodala's hit some big shots in the finals, fellas, and the playoffs.
Is it about hitting a couple big shots or being a really good shooter?
Being a really good shooter, like, you know, to where it's not the team's like J. Kidd and Magic. That just they jumped out.
And I don't even think J. Kidd was ever a really good shooter. He just learned how to make an open shot.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would ever say, man, Jason Kidd is
He improved,
shooter.
Though, Bonte. That's what I'm saying. He improved.
I mean, yeah.
As a catch and shoot, that's all Jason Kidd was, though, no catch doubt. And shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, if you close your eyes, you can't even remember a play where Jason Kidd took one dribble to his right and pulled up for a jumper. No. Just doesn't. It's not what he did.
No. Let's go out there, Rodney and Bill Peters, before we hit the break here. Rodney, what's going on, man? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just want to say I think the Warriors are going to be a lot hungrier than people think. I think you're going to have the chips on their shoulder, you know, being hurt, you know, Curry and Thompson and Green. Everybody knows he's got a big heart. But I just think the Warriors, and again, it's predicated on the draft, okay? But I really believe, I think they're going to be a lot better than people think. I think they're going to knock some people along the way down. And I think they have a good shot of going to the playoffs, a solid shot to make to the playoffs. No doubt in my mind. I'm out.
Thanks for the phone call.
I think they got a solid shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt.
Playoffs a lot for the Warriors?
You would have to think. Man, I believe Steph, that's Clay, starting Draymond. Five. I'll put up. Yeah, you think that'll get you to the offs, you know? Now, what happens in the offs, I don't know, but you got to believe. Come on, man.
Stymie been... lock, right?
Virtual lock, I would say. You know, always allow yourself a little bit of wiggle room. So I would say they're virtual lock. That way you can get out of it if they don't.
And we've heard the Splash Brothers. They said, what did Clay say? I can't believe people are doubting us. And then Steph said we still got championship pedigree. I know that's not game on the court. And then Draymond saying, okay, people doubt me, put the X on my back. I just got to think, man, when it does happen, motivation will be, you know, on 1,000.
No doubt, no doubt.
Hope they can keep that motivation on 1,000 for 9 months. That's how long an NBA season is.
And we no telling when we'll see the Warriors back on the floor either. We got two more names on this list. Monty Poole wrote an article in NBC Sports Bay Area .com about five trade targets. We got through Aaron Gordon, Covington, Robert Covington, and John Collins. We got two more names on the list, and then we'll get into that. Plus much, much more right here on BSNG. Matt Stein, it's Dirt Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill. It's all brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Nope, wrong one. Yeah, Chilton Auto Body. All brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back as we talk Warriors basketball here on 95.7 The Game. Don't forget to download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites and don't miss a second. Whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including Andy Benoit, who joined us yesterday to talk about Cam Newton, Nick Mullins, and what's going on in the NFL. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa, or hey Google, play 95.7 The Game. Top five trade targets for the Warriors. Monty Poole has John Collins, Robert Covington, Aaron Gordon. And we haven't gotten to the two next names, fellas. Next name on the list is Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday of the Pelicans. Guard, very solid point guard who's now 30 years old. Really good defender. Can hit the three. But he has 2 years left on his deal. It's $51.7 million remaining on that deal, so... I don't see it happening. Drew Holiday, does that read like that? Does yeah? I don't. Steiny.
Well, I mean,
I
honestly,
love him, but he's a bad boy. But yeah,
that would be one of those where, all right, whose salary does he match with? Well, he matches with Draymond Green. So you start to think, would there be any circumstance in which either of those teams would entertain that kind of trade? I don't know that New Orleans would want to give up Drew Holiday for Draymond Green. What about Wiggins? You know, is there Drew Holiday and maybe a guy with a not so great contract? Would you make that move for Wiggins? I do think Curry, Clay, and Drew Holiday could play together. Drew Holiday's been a guy whose name's come up over the years. He's a really good player. Getting toward the end of his career. Great name, though. Great name. A lot of teams would love to have Drew Holiday.
Remember he was defending Kevin Durant. I mean, that's a tough deal. You're not going to shut down Kevin Durant. But when the Pelicans met the Warriors a couple years ago in the second round, Drew Holiday was basically drawing the Kevin Durant assignment. I mean, he could guard guys bigger than him, guys who are 6'7", 6'8". Drew Holiday has that strength.
And he can score with the best of them. And yeah, he can put you on skates too. Drew, he's a damn good ball player, man. I just don't – Steiner, you say – and if I'm excited about LaMelo Ball fitting with the Splash Brothers, then why would I be against this young man here, Holiday, because he's a player, bona fide player. I just think it's like too good to be true, Bonte and Steiner.
That's something there.
Yeah, for sure.
415 says that the Warriors will make the playoffs, but they are done winning championships. They'll make the playoffs, but they're done winning championships. Wow. And our friend Greg out there, the 415, who's always texting, Greg says, what's going to happen to those three players, two system players, and one system late in the game when a team needs a bucket of free throws instead of KD? They had to give the ball to Wiggins. I don't blame Wiggins for not being KD, but everybody else will. I hope not. I hope that's not the case.
I mean, he's not going to be KD.
I thought it was Harrison Barnes.
What's that?
I thought that's what we wanted Wiggins to be. Like, if things go right, he could play Harrison Barnes' position, you know, fill his role when he was here pre-KD and even do it better.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we talked about this a little bit a week or two ago. Who would you rather have, Wiggins or Harrison Barnes? And it's easy to say Wiggins because Wiggins scores more, but I don't know. There's something to be said. Like, here's the thing about Wiggins that we're going to find out. Can Wiggins be effective when he's not the guy who gets the ball as much as he has been getting the ball in the past? It's really pretty simple. Can he go from taking 17, 18 shots a game and shooting 44% and 31 from three? Can he take 14 to 15 shots a game, shoot 48% from the field, make 36% of his threes, and average 18? Because that's really, I think, what you want from Wiggins. Can he become a better player and shoot and score a little less? And that's very possible for players to do that.
Because when you watch him, when you watch him play, fellas, it's not about talent. It's being consistent. But it's just upstairs. And Tim Hardaway was on our show. He said if he's your fifth best player, you know, that's what he is. But I'm just saying, Bonte, this has to be the easiest basketball this young man will ever play. And if that means he's relaxed and you get better results, but I guess what I'm saying is it's Steph, Clay, even Dre, then Wiggins, maybe he's at a point or he's the type of person that mentally he won't put so much pressure on himself. Or that may be baloney, and we just know this guy is, you know, you can't tell where his motor's at. It's just, he just ho-hum, you know? I'm hoping he'll take advantage of the easiest basketball, Steiner and Bonte, that he'll play. Because when you play the Warriors, you're going to fixate on Curry and Clay and then default to Andrew Wiggins.
Is it easy basketball, though, with the pressure that's going to come with him shooting those open shots? Because remember, we thought it was easy for Harrison Barnes, and boy, this fan base, including yours truly, turned on that guy so damn fast.
I didn't. Yeah.
You didn't turn on him?
I didn't turn on him to the degree to where when they lost the 3-1 lead, people didn't want to go with the other big three that weren't having the best game and went at Harrison Barnes. But Harrison Barnes was good enough on his best day as a Warrior for you to almost win two championships. So that's why I envisioned, and Bonte, I took this from you, when you said can Wiggins be a Harrison Barnes, he's got all the tools. And now if it's about, you know, maturing Steiny or it's upstairs mentally, if he's putting too much pressure on himself, you got to think this is his last and best opportunity to play easy and efficient basketball.
I think that's it's an interesting phrase, like easiest basketball, because I get it on the one hand. On the other hand, it's really not easy to play with stars of the magnitude of Curry and Clay specifically, Draymond to a lesser degree. You know, Wiggins could do whatever he wanted in Minnesota. He could take, you know, if he had a so-so shot, he could take it. When you're playing with Curry and Clay, you start thinking a little bit more about, should I take this shot? Should I not take this shot? I'm playing with Steph Curry. You know, at the end of a shot clock in Minnesota, who was going to take the shot? Wiggins was going to take the shot. With six seconds to go on a shot clock in Golden State, it could be anybody who's taking the shot. And Wiggins doesn't have to shoot it if he's got the ball. So, you know, it's going to be how he makes that adjustment. Defensively, I don't think Wiggins is in the same category as Barnes. Barnes is much stronger than Wiggins, I think, physically, and definitely has the ability to guard bigger players. Wiggins, you can say, in 25 games, he looked like he was a pretty good defender. Look, the Warriors were 15-50. I got to judge him on the defensive end when he starts playing with Curry, Clay, and Draymond, and they start playing games that matter.
Here's an interesting question. I forgot who threw it out in our pre-show meeting, but it's a pretty simple one. What is the Warriors' biggest need right now? 888-957-9570. What is the Warriors' biggest need right now? Is it health? Is it size? Is it shooting? Is it depth? What is the Warriors' biggest need? Want to hear from Warrior fans here. 888-957-9570. Steiny Goo, start with you, Steiny. What is the Warriors' biggest need right now?
It's a really good question. I'd probably just answer size.
Boy, that's a great question.
I think they need a little size. I think they need a big guy who can play 15 or 20 minutes at least a game. Somebody bigger than Marquese Chris, or if not bigger than Marquese Chris, physical. Just a guy who can rebound. Too many times in the last year and a half, and this even happened during the playoffs prior to this past year. Sometimes the Warriors they've been made to look small at times. I think they need to get some size is one thing I think they need to get.
And I'll second that. I'll just say athletic big. You know, a guy that can block shots, protect the rim, get you a bucket down there. Because, Steiny, when you talk about they look small, I just remember, and I'm not blaming Draymond, him taking the ball out the hoop after a guy like Siakam scored or Montrezl Harrell. And it wasn't just Dre's fault. It was just a combination of they don't have much size. And I know Chris is coming on, but if you could use and get kind of obviously you want a top-tier athletic big in the draft or during the trade – that, to me, is what ails this Warrior team. And the fact that two of us of the three have said that, Bonte, you would think you need bench depth. That's the other thing. But after that, I mean, that's a good thing that if two guys are saying the one thing you need, but the bench depth, lack of, is real.
Yeah, here on the text line here, I'm going to read a couple texts here. 925, Wiseman is their biggest need. 415 thinks bench scoring and another good defender is their biggest need. 510 thinks the Warriors need another player who can score 20 points a night with ease. Marc Gasol's getting thrown out there, an above average backup point guard, maybe to replace Sean Livingston. I'm with you two guys, though. I think size. They need some type of rim protection. Wow. You know, when we talk about the Hamptons 5 lineup and you got Kevin Durant at the center position, he had a long wingspan. Andre Iguodala, long wingspan. Klay Thompson, long wingspan. They need to get longer and bigger and have some type of rim protection here. So I'm with you guys. I do think the size. And Marquese Chris, look, he's good. I see somebody just say, hey, we just described Marquese Chris. But can he give you 30 minutes a game? Marquese Chris is a guy I'm envisioning maybe playing 20 minutes a game. He is getting better, but you need more than Marquise Chriss. And that's not disrespect to Marquise Chriss. I think he's come a long way. I really like where his game was at with the Warriors last year. But they need another one because with those championship teams, think about all the bigs they had. JaVale, Zaza, yeah, KD, yeah, David West. They definitely need some size. I'm with you guys.
You're right. No, you're right.
And the question mark, Steiny, with Looney, you know, you don't know what, you know, how healthy he's going to be. Hopefully all this time off will help him, but he's a wild card too, just from a health standpoint.
Forgot all about him. Forgot all about Looney. Where's he at? I mean, where's he going to be at? That's a great.
It's a good question.
Forgot all about
it's a good
yeah,
question.
It's a good question, you know? Because we know he can play
question.
He could play a playoff series, but can he make it to the playoffs?
To me, right. I look at Marquise Chriss a little bit like a Kendrick Bourne in that. Can you count? If you're the Niners, can you count on Bourne next year? Well,
Niner
yes,
day.
You can, but you know what I mean? You'd like to have somebody else so that it doesn't all fall on Bourne. You know what I mean? Like, if the Warriors could draft, let's say, like, God, even if they draft Wiseman, and Wiseman can give him 15 to 20 minutes a game, well, that's fine. That's Wiseman giving you 15 or 20, and then Chris giving you 15 or 20, and there, and you know, hopefully Looney's healthy and Green can play some five, and there you have it. But I do think they need one more guy. Like, I don't like counting on players that are just starting to have success. Like if Marquise Chriss next year plays 75 games and gives you 10-8, and we're saying, man, he was good all season long, that's great. I just don't think you can go into the season counting on that. That's one where you, if it happens, it's gravy. But I'd want it to have a little more support for Marquise Chriss.
I'm with you there. I agree with that.
And the fact we haven't seen him do it anywhere, you know, young Marquise Chriss. I know you guys came down my road when it was announced he was coming to Golden State, but I got to be honest, he's a little better than I thought in regard to he hasn't done it, Steiny, Bonte, but, you know, he's not the lightest dude down there, but it's like what Steiny said, we have to see it. Can he be the guy you rely on, your starting center, to give you those minutes? We'll see, but he's in a damn good position. But that's a big question mark if the Warriors are going to make noise. Can he do it for a prolonged amount of time and minutes during an NBA game, season for that matter?
Last name on this list from Monty Poole's article on NBC Sports, BayArea.com, in terms of five trade targets the Warriors can really look at here. The last name is Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart. Now, I'm not sure if Boston will want to give up Marcus Smart. He has two years and $27 million, basically, left on his contract. 6'3", 26 years old. We know he's kind of a junkyard dog. He gets into guys. The three ball, I did not know, was above 35%. When I think about Marcus Smart, man, I think about all the bricks he throws up there. But he's gotten better when it comes to shooting. Marcus Smart, is that realistic? Is that reasonable? And what would you do for Marcus Smart?
Well, the one thing I read in Monty's story is some of these guys, like he has Drew Holiday on the list because Drew Holiday makes a lot of money. And at some point, they're going to have to basically say, you know, Lonzo Ball's our point guard. And that's who's going to be our guy. Smart. I just can't imagine the Celtics giving up Marcus Smart. Like he's really important player, and the other thing is what's Smart making? Probably about 16, 15, something like that.
Yeah, well, 2 years left. 2 years left. 26.8 left on the deal, plus $1 million in incentives. Okay. So essentially 13.5 a year.
Yeah. So like the way it would go for that would be that, like the Celtics would trade Marcus Smart. And the Warriors would give him the $17 million exception and the number one pick. Problem is the number one pick going to be better than Marcus Smart in his first year? But the other thing is, like, you're not really coming off a lot of smarts money if then you got to pay this draft pick $10 million if he's the first pick, even though it's only – it'll be a two-year $20 million deal, something like that. Marcus Smart is an interesting player, absolutely. I think he's just too central to what – like, if the Celtics are ready to move Marcus Smart, it feels like then they didn't have a good playoff and they're ready to kind of – if not break up the team, certainly seriously tinker.
I like his game.
Yeah, you could make the argument he's the heart and soul of that team. He has some Ron Artest in him, very tough. And I don't know if he would want to come to Golden State, because when I watch Boston, there's times he's running the one, the two, the ball's in his hands a lot. So I don't know, just from a basketball, you know, scheme-wise, how he would fit with, Steph and Clay. But from a basketball standpoint, I would definitely take the temperature of Danny Ainge and Boston and be like, why would, you not want to pay this guy or keep him around? Dude's a baller, man. And he's gotten better on his three ball, Bonte.
Yeah, he's a good defender. He's an intriguing name for sure. I view him as sort of a championship piece for the Boston Celtics. I mean, he's been in some big-time playoff games. Yeah. And I like when I look at Tatum and I look at Kemba – I just think he fits. Like, why would Boston really want to move off of Marcus Smart?
Right.
Why? Exactly. And that's how I kind of look at it from the other side, Stoudy and Goo. Like, Marcus Smart can play, man. He's played big games and hit some big shots. And we see him defend at a high level, can guard bigger guys. He's strong lower body. I think that's unrealistic. What's the most likely on this list? Because I'm looking at this list here with Gordon, Covington, Collins, Drew Holiday, Marcus Smart. Even though I don't like it, it seems like – John Collins may be the most realistic target here.
It feels like Aaron Gordon's in play too. I don't know why, but no, you're like Marcus Smart to me is a lot of ways the Celtics Draymond, a younger version of Draymond. I get he's a guard, but it's like if Draymond were a guard, he'd be Marcus Smart, and if Marcus Smart were a power forward, he'd be Draymond Green. So I'm kind of with you, Bonte. I view Marcus Smart as a player Boston looks at as part of its championship core, for sure. Mm-hmm. Now maybe I'm wrong, is kind of another thing. I mean, if the salary cap and the luxury tax drop next year, and all of a sudden you look at Boston and they're like, "Geez, Kemba's making a ton, Hayward's making a ton, Smart's making a lot. We still have to pay Tatum." I mean, there are scenarios in which I do think this year more than ever, there may be scenarios where a team will get off a guy making $15 to $20 million for a draft pick, maybe, and just save that $6, $8, $10 million that they'd have to pay for the first pick. Yeah.
Atlanta. No, that's a good point. Right. Could be Atlanta. But here from the 707, is Drew Holiday would easily be the best fit. And when you put it like you put it, Steiny, basically – describing the New Orleans situation. Lonzo Ball's the future there. Brandon Ingram, they have to pay. They have Zion Williamson, Jackson Hayes, Josh Hart. Holiday, I'm interested to see with David Griffin, what he could get for Holiday, or would they be able to just, hey, we need to just get rid of this guy? Because he may be out there. And, yeah, Drew Holiday played Deshaun Livingston role. Boy, that's a come up for the Warriors.
Would that be enough for him though? He's getting any shot he wants in New Orleans right now. I think that would be like a downgrade for him. Like, would that be enough coming off the bench?
Yeah, he's 30 years old, hasn't won a ring, probably wants to contend for a championship. I mean, they had a good run in New Orleans a couple years ago.
Spike Lee.
He's got game. I think it's got to be the situation and the environment. Would Drew Holiday want to back up Steph and Clay and come off the bench? Drew Holiday seems like a selfless guy. He seems like he'd be willing to do that, but I don't know him personally. But I would think that he wants to try to win, and he wants to go to a spot where they're trying to win. And we know the Warriors are trying to win, so I think he could sell him on that. He's made his money, fellas.
Drew Holiday's he's a great guy from everything I understand about him, but. I don't think I'm surprising anybody here. He's still, to me, a starter in the league. The question is, would he care if he didn't start, because he's still probably going to play plenty on the Warriors. Because, like I said, I think he can, like, he's versatile enough that, you know, he can sub for Steph, he can sub for Klay, he can sub for Wiggins, and they could just move guys around and still defend. So, yes, I think Drew Holiday to me is the more would be the most of all the players in this list. And who were they? They were Collins. It was Smart,
Covington,
and
Gordon.
I'd say Aaron that Gordon. Drew Holiday is like to me would be the biggest championship type player. You know what I mean? A guy who I'm envisioning in a Western Conference final, and he's helping you. He's really helping you. Some of the other guys on the list, you're hoping they help you.
Yeah. And,
like Drew
and
Holiday,
five,
when he played against the Warriors in the playoffs, I mean, you had to defend
balling.
That guy. I mean, he was good.
He's good.
With AD, even when they had AD, he was doing some work. But out of that five, it would be the most realistic to me is Collins and Gordon. Just to the two of the five.
Boy, realistic. Collins could be had because obviously they have Clint Capella and Travis Link maybe trying to move off him a year before his contract expires. So that's definitely realistic. Best fit, probably Drew Holiday or Marcus Smart. I don't see Marcus Smart happening. I think that's unrealistic. But Drew Holiday, that's the one that's really got me tingling. Just thinking about him. I just remember that series, Steiny and Goon. You guys were at Oracle. He was defending KD. And, like, nobody shuts down KD.
No.
But he was being physical with Kevin Durant. He was trying to move him off the spot. He competes, man. He really competes. And that
boy.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. But I think John Collins is probably the more realistic possibility out of these five guys. So we'll continue to roll. Talk about some Warriors basketball. 888-957-9570. What do you think is the Warriors' biggest need heading into next season? Also, some this date in history. We got some this date in history. From last year, from 1993, all that stuff coming up right here on 95.7 The Game. It's Dirt of Guru Johnson, Matt Stein, it's Bonte Hill, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.